This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine.
Good. Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every 6:30 till 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4359, and you can listen in Cable Bahamas on Guardian Radio's page, and also you can again text us at 422-GR96. I'd just like to say a wonderful good night to each and every one of you. I hope you're going to have a wonderful weekend. I have a very special guest, a very special person in the country who has been contributing for many, many years of the ills that have been plaguing our country for many years. His voice has been a beacon for many politicians, many people from around the world, international organization that came to the Bahamas. He always expresses himself about the love and dedication of the young people in the country. I'm talking not other than Dr. Carlos Reid. I'd just like to say to myself, to him, you know, over the years I've known Mr. Reid close now, going over 30 years. And what I've got to find though, that his mission in life, right, is to be able to express himself based on the experience that he has seen happen in the inner city community over the last 30, 40 years, concerning the young people in our country. He was saying when the murder rate started from 25 going to 33, what was the record, then it went to 45, then 55, then 66, you know, then it went to 77, then 88, close to 2000, then in the 2000 exploded because of the expansion of the community. When I mean the expansion of the community is, the Bahamas was only so big at that particular time. But as we started to add on Pinewood Garden, we started to add on Yoloela and all these other subdivisions, many people started to do good for themselves, but they took an attitude with them when they left these inner city communities. And that, what they took with them is that we had a very serious drug era at a particular time that actually destroyed the family structure in this country, which in turn, if you do the statistics, you'll see it lead to the broken down of the family structure in the homes. And what that led to? It led to at-risk young kids in the country, which in turn became criminal elements, whether using drugs, selling drugs, involving murder, armed robbery, rape, sexual abuse, because there's no structure. So I brought Dr. Carlos Reid in the studio today because myself personally, what he has been able to accomplish over that 30-year span into his ministries, he was able to enlighten many people about the effects and understanding if we don't this, if we don't invest in our young kids, if we don't pay attention to the school kids, if we don't pay attention to the at-risk young kids in the inner city community who have no programs at the end of the day. Knowing that, he has been able to speak to many prime ministers, ministers of national security, and he was able to form his own particular organization with a grouping of different people from around the country, which in turn has helped thousands of young kids in the country. Many of you would travel and you would pass the sports center. You would see at-risk young kids, you know, washing cars and making an honest living. But also they're getting the training that is necessary. Ms. Reed also has a basketball center. There you would always see kids playing, young and old, enjoying themselves. Now you can't ask a man like that to do more. You understand? But he's continue to be impactful in his field. And so that's what I brought him in here today for, so that we have this little discussion. So I let him introduce himself. But for me, Mr. Reed, I just want you to know, how I look at you is that you talk about a third party. People talk about the Coalition of Independence or the DNA. You are a third party. Third party means this. Yes, you have the PLP in there for them. But we have a third party here that deals with the independence and safety of the citizens. Because you're out there advocating. So to me, that's the real third party. If you want to win election, the election I'm referring to is win the lives and give the right education, the right knowledge to save the lives of the young school kids we see in the country so that they have a better future. This is the kind of political fight I think Mr. Reed is fighting for. So I'd say that's what I call a third party. I consider myself a third party because that's what we're advocating for. We might not have a group of people of started council and members in a grouping, but he used the platform, he used his podium, and in between, they're being able to reach people and make connections and be able to help at-risk kids. So to me, Mr. Reed, that's like a third party. You understand? That's what change really is. You might not know it. You know, they are politically third parties, but in the Bahamas, which is more important than the political third party, because we are talking about lives. We are up to 70-something, and the country is hurting. But you yourself, sir, you're like a third party. And I appreciate you because deep down inside, Mr. Reed, I know the challenges you face. You know, because even though sometimes you're going to help some of these young men, some of them are stubborn. You know, some of them are ungrateful. You know, but you can't give up on that one you meet. So it ain't an easy thing even trying to help people, because people have been stagnated so long that they have completely lost their will. They don't trust nobody. They're always like backstabbing. You know, that's the kind of nation we become because of the poverty and the lack of education and the lack of leadership that Mr. Reed brings to the table, you know. And last but least, this country is lacking leadership. Men like Mr. Reed, C.B. Moss, you know, he, you know, has practically given years and dedication to help wherever he can, to voice his opinion. Time comes where he can't even do it no more because of his health. How long you think you're going to be running people like myself and other people over there who are speaking on the benefits of people? I mean, you're not speaking for the radio or TV, you know. You're using that platform to say, hey, let me encourage some people out there in high places to listen to what I ever say, so that we be able to start the head in the direction that we need to head it. You know, you're not going to be around for too much long because, Mr. Reed, it gets tiresome. And then, like you say, that's all. A bigger picture that you're going to have to fulfill. You understand, Mr. Reed? So I just saying, for me to you, I understand the challenges. It ain't easy out here, people. Even when you want to help people, listen to me. When you want to help broken, hurt people, listen to me. As much as you want to help people, listen to me. It's difficult. You understand? So I just want to say, Mr. Reed, you know, I just want to keep on encouraging you. Use your platform. Use the last bit of strength and power and influence you have just to continue to do what you're doing, because I just want to tell the general public, it ain't easy out here. It ain't easy out here getting support, the support organizations. It ain't easy to get assistance unless people really, really believe in you. So I just want to say from me to you, I know what you mean to the country, and I hope those who are listening really appreciate people like yourself and C.B. Moss and many others who are in this field, because like I say, they're a third party. I want to just thank you for taking the time out, Mr. Reed, to really come on this wonderful Friday. I know you're very busy, but I just want to say a very thank you for taking my
happy to be here, Valentino. Just a couple of things that you said that I want to be able to just like touch on, right? And one of them is we use this phrase address, you know, based upon the Child Protection Act. We can't even use that term no more when we're referring to young people.
Oh.
They basically are misdirected. You know, one of the challenges that we have in this world is that we have not been educated right. So I believe that what we face in this country, particularly in our inner city, is the miseducation of the young behemoth youth. See, the Bible teaches us that my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. When I was coming up, I didn't know. I didn't know who I was. I was trying to find myself. The only persons that was giving me their perceived knowledge were persons who didn't know who they were. But not until one day I decided to make a change. I decided that I couldn't handle my life no more. I decided to give it to somebody that could handle it. That was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes,
this led to me connecting with persons like Dr. Miles Monroe, who basically changed my whole perception on what life really is.
Wow.
You know, one of the profound statements that he made was that the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose.
Life without a purpose.
And this basically is what so many people, not just young people, are faced with. They are living, but they're not motivated by purpose. See, purpose is that thing that gives meaning to life. Purpose is that thing that gets you out of bed in the morning when everything is beckoning you to stay in bed. Purpose is that thing that causes you to walk away from persons that you would cut a movie with, because you ain't gonna allow nobody to cause you to abort your purpose. So purpose then becomes protection. I didn't know this yet because I lack knowledge. And because I lack knowledge, I was trying to find myself through the use of drugs, alcohol, being out there trying to be a gangster. I was trying to find me. Little did I know, right, that I didn't have to find me. I hope you get this.
I listen to me.
And this is the challenge that we have in this nation. This is the challenge that we have in this world. Everybody trying to find themselves. Yes. But it's not in finding yourself. It's in creating
yourself. Creating yourself, yes. Because your purpose.
Purpose is what causes us to create. Let me tell you what I'm saying. Every person placed on planet Earth was placed on planet Earth to solve a problem. What problem are you solving? If you're not solving a problem, then you are a problem. When you find a problem to solve, you find meaning for your life and the discovery of who you are.
Okay.
This is the challenge that most people have. Most people today, they wake up, I got to find me a job, go to the job, work and pay bills, and that's life. That ain't what God intended for life to be. Life more than that. Christ said that he came that you might have life and to have it more abundantly, not just to work, pay bills, and debt. What is the thing that gives your life meaning? What is the contribution that God placed Valentino Brown on planet Earth to accomplish? Every last one of us have a mission. And we have to accomplish that. And in the process of us accomplishing that is where we come face to face with who we really are.
Wow. That's crazy.
When I understood this, it's changed my life. So I'm at a point in my life that I don't care who like me and who don't like me. I don't care who believe in me and don't believe in me. That's not what I place on planet Earth. That's not the problem I came to solve.
That's not the problem you came to solve.
Now watch this though. When you find the problem that you're supposed to solve, then you get paid for it.
I agree. It's true.
When the problem meets the solution, wealth is born. most people today have not found a problem to solve. So when I talk to young people today, my talk ain't about, oh, you got to stop smoking dope, or you got to come out like, no. Mm-hmm. Bro, what problem you supposed to solve? What I'm trying to do is to challenge their intellectual capacity. I'm causing you to think outside of the box because nobody in your family ever thought about the problem they supposed to solve.
Not saying cutting you off, Mr. Reed. I was watching this introduction Deion Sanders was doing lately for the athletes. Mm. And he said something similar. He said, yeah, I'm here and telling y'all how to pull up your pants and telling you how to be a man. A lot of y'all.
That can come. That can come. When I got saved, right?
Go ahead.
I have this earring in my ass.
Yes, sir.
And I used to go places and I used to minister and everybody used to talk about, man, he's supposed to be saved. Why you get this earring in the ass? And my whole defense was on the fact that nowhere in the Bible that God said that a man couldn't wear an earring. And then one day, I asked Dr. Miles Monroe. I said, look here, man, everywhere I go, people talk about this earring, but you ain't never say nothing to me about it. He said, Carlos, that's not an issue to me. So I'm more concerned about your mind than I'm concerned about the outward appearance. Wow. But here's what he told me, Scrooge. He says, but I could tell you this. He said, dress the way you want to be addressed. That changed my life. So I didn't remove the earring because of what people were saying, because they didn't bring anything that was substantial enough to cause me to convict myself to take it up. But that small thing that he says, he said, dress the way you want to be addressed. So here's what I got from that. I was allowing a little small earring to get in the way of something powerful that God wanted to speak through my mouth. So I had to decide whether me being right was worth me shutting up the ears of people that needed to hear me. So I took that earring out and I never had to put it back in. So even that, right, cost me, even when I go different places, dress the way you want to be addressed. So when I go to the hood, I go to speak to the hood.
You dress in your jean sponsor.
When I go to the boardroom, I go to the boardroom. Because I'm dressing the way I want to be addressed.
In that atmosphere.
See, a lot of people talk about it, and young people say it all the time. Oh, you got to keep it real. But sometimes keeping it real keep you broke.
You're correct.
You got to work your wife in a system that has already set its rules.
I understand what you're saying. So you could, so it'd be attracted to you. Instead of you being an outcast, then you could climb.
Why go to the boardroom and you got something powerful to say? But they ain't hearing you.
Because you're not the parents. It's not the way you...
Exactly. So, all right. Like you said, I have these basketball courts. Young people come to play basketball. Sometimes, like, I'm there and somebody will curse. My response is not, but y'all got to stop cursing. Here's what my response is. Look here, man. Tell me something. If you was to go to an interview, would you use that kind of language in the interview? No, boss, I can't. If I use that, then they wouldn't give me the job. Practice. I said, well, why don't you practice for where you going?
That's right.
So that brings a whole different perspective.
Yeah.
So, all right, the other day, driving in my truck. These two fellas, them, they fighting, big fight going on in the school. So I stop. I hop in the middle of the fight. I don't ask them what they fighting for. Because if I had to ask them what they fighting for, then I would give more power to the fight.
Back and forth.
What I would do is add fuel to what they fighting for. So I asked one of the fellas, I said, what you want to be in life? I turned, what you want to be? So what I did was to change the thought process, because there can never be change without thought.
Yeah.
The problem that we have in this country is mindset, you know. Because people just ain't thinking. Okay, let me bring it home. If I'm thinking, somebody decides that they call me this name or something like that. I ain't like what they call me. I can't let them get away with calling me that. What people can think about me. So I go and go get my firearm. And I go look for them and put a couple bullets in them. What happens to me? I end up messing up my life. What did I mess up my life? Because of what somebody called me. You see what I'm saying?
And you get the
what thought. That was a thought.
Yes, a thought, bro. Yes.
I didn't like. Where did I get that from? From an emotion. The problem that we got, and I hope persons listening to us get this tonight, boy. The problem that we have is the way people think. Because out of thought comes emotions. Yeah. Emotions is 90% of the problem, because most of the problems that you're going to experience in life is thinking where you ought to feel and feeling where you ought to think.
So Mr. Red, you know, a few guys, you know, got locked up. You know, they did a serious crime, you know, a horrific crime. And then, you know, I read the newspaper some time back. I was reading the newspaper, but this is a particular incident. And then the person, you know, made a horrific crime. When they got locked up from the police, and when they cooled down, and then the police started questioning them in the interview room, they didn't even remember what they did.
Exactly. Because the emotions. Emotions. See, the biggest thing, like you talk, but we lack leadership. That's one of the things that you said. I don't think we lack leadership.
Mm-hmm.
What we lack is self-control.
Self-control.
Because we've been taught to be emotional. We've been taught to operate on feelings rather than operating on logics. But watch this, though. What is 2 + 2?
4.
Regardless of how you feel about that, would it change what the outcome going to be?
No.
It can always be 4, right? Whether you like it or you don't like it, it can always be 4.
It is always going to be 4.
Your emotions don't change it. Emotions don't change facts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got me,
And that's the problem. We all in our feelings. Feelings will get you in jail.
So just like how you was talking to two young boys, and you know that you're going and say, hey, what's the problem? You didn't do that. You say,
no.
Hey.
Because I keep them in their feelings.
What you wanna be?
So I'm challenging your destiny.
Awesome.
You see what I'm saying? See, I believe that we do this to ourselves somewhat.
Yes, sir.
We're so grounded in our present that we never release ourselves to get into our future.
Mm-hmm.
And this way I was, man, I tell you no word of lie. This is why I like to be real with brothers. I always was trying to, I had this image that I was trying to maintain. I wanted people to see me as this gangster. This is how I grew up. Boy, you got to be like this, boy. Or fellas tell me I ain't going to respect you. And then I realized that to respect what I was getting in the hood, I wasn't getting into the corporate world where I wanted or needed to have that respect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the respect in the hood. I need the respect in corporate world so I can come back and influence the hood.
And make some changes to the hood.
Exactly, because all of us broke in the hood. All of us bad. All of us. How we changing the hood?
Yes, you ain't changing the hood unless you go and get corporate sponsors.
Somebody got to go out there and connect with the people who can bring what we don't have back to the hood.
And you figured out, and that's why you was able to get partnership from different organizations, different people, and able to put in it and come up with a great concept of your community center with the park and helping hundreds.
Exactly, because we don't create the systems. We have to learn how to operate in the systems.
Yeah.
So now we could bring the influence to where we need the influence.
I agree, Mr. Reed. That's why earlier I said I know what you mean to the country, because I watch and observe, and I know that if you want to change the country and change the mindset, you're going to be hub to be able to go out there and get people attracted to you, come up with an alternative solution, manifest it, make it happen, and then, you know, like you say, get the resources.
But your mindset have to change, because you can't give people what you don't have.
You're right, Mr. Reed.
You see what I'm saying? See, right now, right, I frequent going up to, and a lot of my young brothers that I know from the streets, a lot of them incarcerated. And their minds are so embedded in trying to make sure that they get the respect from this one. And they don't care if I get locked up like a dog for the rest of my life. But the main thing is that, boy, I can make sure that these fellas respect me. Imagine if we was to change our perception of what respect is. Where respect is not based upon badness, but how I use my mind, how I process ideas, how I become what I was created to become.
Become a boss, you know? Like a
you understand what I'm saying?
Like a boss.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. How we use those resources. You think about it, right? You get a number of fellas them like what like pride themselves on being the baddest fellas in Nassau.
Yes, sir.
All of these, just about all these fellas them already made over $1 million. Over $1 million they made. I know for some of them what already made.
Yes, sir.
Imagine if they was to come together and use their resources to be able to now turn legit. You can imagine what they would be in the boardroom.
Yeah.
I told somebody one time ago, if a brother could take $500 and buy a pound of grass and turn that into $5,000, then we need to let them run Bahamas Hill. Because they have the business, they have the idea of what business is.
Yes,
we just trying to do in the wrong place because
sir.
That's what we've been taught we lack the knowledge.
Yes, sir. You're so right.
Let's look at, like, you mentioned Sabas, right, my good friend. He bought this building right up the road, right up here.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Abandoned building.
Turned it into something, and now that rent it right out.
Yes.
So that right there could take care of him and his children for the rest of his life.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? He goes down in the back of the Fresh Market and get the bank to finance this, what you call it, sell out the units, then pay off the bank and was able to come out of that with millions of dollars. But he doing it legit, and he ain't got to worry about the police kicking his door down and nothing like that. He doing it legit.
Now he's ambassador for the country.
Now, my brother's down. We won't be out there, I got to be able to run shipment. Look here, man, I ain't knocking nobody because, look here, honestly, that's where I was in my life. That's the level of my mentality. But it got to come to a place where you decide, wait, look here, boy, I got to be able to grow the hell up now.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work. Brother, I don't care if you're listening, but hear me tonight, boy. That selling dope and thing for the rest of your life, that ain't going to work. You want to live like when the man coming for you, when fellas them coming for you. That's a messed up way to live, man. It got to be a point in your life where you say, but it got to be more than this. And some of y'all got all kind of children.
So what kind of father figure you're going to be to them?
Not just what kind of man am I being to myself when I look in the mirror? What I see? It got to be something more to life than just catching hell.
And Mr. Red, that's the odd something onto that. My brother, he is doing 22 years in Cuba. He was running loads, you know. Now, I was a drug dealer myself, but I changed my mindset. He came over, I met him about, I'd say about 10 years, you know, because like I say, around the time, that was a drug era, and they got took away from with the social service. And my grandmother kept me. And I saw him bring one or two loads. You know what I said to him, Mr. Reid? I said, brother, listen to me. He's a good fisherman. You from Auckland, you know. I say, don't try to come impress me. You know, I said, brother, not every time you go to Jamaica and come back means you come back safe all the time. You know. I said, why don't take this money, this little $5,000 you make, or this little $10,000 you make, go buy yourself a small boat and go in Auckland and go on your fishing industry. You know what he started telling me? Brother, man, you know, it's my time now. Yes, and that. I said, little brother, you just come in this game, all right? I say, your luck will run out. I say, you're in hell with me. You know what I'm going through, and I ain't got no time to explain to you. I say, your luck will run out. Anyone listen, you're going to make one load a couple times, get eight, buy two car. You know where he is now?
Mm-hmm.
The last run, his cousin ate from shark. Yeah, they say? Because they had to swim 10 miles.
Wow.
You understand? Lewis's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm going to prison. Spend 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He got busted with $1.2 million worth of drugs a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Man, look, Mr. Reedy, go on. Come out, do your 3 years. Make one or two more little run. I keep on telling him, I said, brother, I don't want nothing from you. I said, I got to stay on positive. You know what happened to Mr. Reedy? His last run, what he say he's going to make now, when he can make his move to take this money and go invest it and whatever. Boat crop out, falling, drifting Cuban water. Now he's spending 22 years.
Wow. And then you got to ask yourself, a friend of mine, he read my book while he was in prison in the United States. His story is that he started out like petty hustling. Mm-hmm. Then somebody turning him on, like where you could carry dope to the States, and he ran a couple of times and he got away, so it became an addiction.
Yep.
And just a thriller, like, but you're getting through. And then one time he ended up like getting catch and spent 10 years in penitentiary. When he came out of that, he didn't have nothing to show for all of those years and the chances that we go through. There are so many brothers the same way. You go through and you make some money and what you call it, but at the end of it, you don't have nothing to show for it, right? And here's the irony of it. Like, a lot of these brothers, like, when they're doing this, they already have children. So them children got to grow up without the guidance of the father. And most right now, a lot of these brothers right now are falling into the same pathway that their fathers went in. See, Scrooge, I didn't always know this, and I ain't trying to talk like I reach or nothing like that, because I ain't reach. God knows I ain't reach. God's still working on me, and I still got a lot of things to learn, and I still got a lot of things that I got to be able to correct in my life. I have a son. And my son, he tries to, he don't do it no more. But his whole endeavor is because he go places, but you know what your daddy used to be. So he's trying to be like who his daddy used to be. And most boys, they try to emulate their daddies. Yes. So when I go up to prison, and I took this fellow shock treatment. We was doing the shock treatment. And when he go to jail, he's now on the path to becoming a criminal. And he said, Mr. Reed, my daddy, I said, yeah. So I bring him face to face with his daddy. So yeah, there's now the daddy in prison. And this young boy, he heading to prison. And you know how many stories that we have like that of persons that incarcerated, right? And their sons right now heading in the same direction. Right now, I need to do this study, right? To find out how many fathers and sons inside prison.
Me and my father be in prison the same time.
I'm telling you, it's a lot of them.
Brothers, there are 3-4 brothers in prison. You have like four or five cousins in prison along with their brothers. It's like a whole family reunion up there with family members in prison. That's why we have all these problems that we're talking about right now.
And see, this way, when we talk about leaders, this is a cycle that we got to break, boy.
Yes.
You know, I decided in my life, me personally, I did not come from a millionaire family. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean a millionaire family can't come from me.
Yes, that's right.
But I don't care how crazy my father's them was, but that case stopped me, the buck stopped me.
Yeah.
I refuse to allow my children to have to go through the same things what I go through. I got to get it. So they then now have somebody to say, wait, my daddy gets it. So there's opportunity. There's maybe the same thing what God do in his life, he could do in my life. Wow. And that's what I try to be, but I ain't trying to impress nobody, you know.
No.
Like I say, I could care less who don't like me, because the last time I checked, believe nobody is going to pay BPL for me, Cable, Bahamas, or Commonwealth Bank. So I ain't in the popularity contest. I ain't trying to get people to like me. But if I can help some people along the way, then my life would have not been in vain. Yes, and that's all I'm trying to do.
Yes,
who
sir.
Get it? Get it. Who don't get it? I can't make you get it.
Yes, sir. This really make me laugh, bro. So, Mr. Red, your experience going to prison, and you talk about how the young men, they really up there and they really trying to impress, and this is their mindset. And it's a reflection, like, of how the country is going. When we look at the rate of murders, you know, just about every other day, you know, different guys, same crime, but it's like it's spreading from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. What you think, I mean, you speak about a change in the mindset, but what do you think we need to do as a society to really understand this and put the proper programs in place so we can continue to give advice and leadership and empowerment, you know, because like I said, Mr. Reed, you were being run from our time, before our time, and the murder count was like 33, 45, 55, and 66. And like I said, keep on climbing. You know, like I said, only because different subdivisions, the murder has increased because, you know, the mindset is still the same for the youth, the family that lives out of these particular communities and go live in like Yellowell or Pinewood Garden. What do you think?
not what I think is what it is. Yes, I wrote in my last book, if I knew then what I know now, about how we are being miseducated.
Yeah.
So what we need is a re-education. When I came up in school, they taught me things that I didn't need. Mm. My teacher told me that she was going to teach me how to be successful. But when I came out of class, I had to help her push her breakdown Volkswagen. To me, that didn't look like success. Oh. What success looked like was the persons in the community that was cleaning up their nice cars, cleaning up their motorbike. So as far as I was concerned, what she was teaching me really wasn't what I needed. I needed what those people that had the things, what I equated success is with. Mm. That's what I needed to know. So they had me in school. They had me in biology. I was cutting open frogs. I had to name the different parts of a frog. Mm. I had to name the different parts of a hibiscus. Mm. Scourge, from my come out of school, I've never, ever had to name the parts of a hibiscus or frog in my life.
So you just say that.
So what they did was waste my time, right? Then they had me in algebra, right? They had me X plus Y equals Z. Caused me to smoke grass. I couldn't process like ideas together, right? I couldn't think the way that I was supposed to think. And what they did was to bring a system that was designed to keep us stagnated to say that they educating me with it. Let me show you what I'm saying. We drive cars.
Mm.
And when I look at my speedometer, it says that the car could go up to 200 miles per hour.
Uh-huh.
But then they put signs up and say, you can't go over 45.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's just how life is. Uh-huh. All right, they say that you can be successful, but they put systems in place to make sure that you don't maximize your potential. And this is what the school system did. The school system is not designed to cause us to flourish, to excel. Because here's it, right? They have a man-made system to determine whether I smart or dumb. So if I don't pass the test what they have on the information what they give me, then I dumb. But I know some people that were considered to be dumb in school that making more money than the people who was considered to be smart. So it's not where I could pass the exam, but how I could come in contact with the purpose that God placed me on planet Earth. How I could solve the problem that God placed me on planet Earth to solve. And if we start to be able to channel people in their giftings, not everybody gonna be doctor. Not everybody can be lawyer. So let's get this ill perception out of our mind, this misconception that everybody can be smart. Everybody ain't gonna be smart from an intellectual standpoint. But there are some persons that can't pass an exam to save their life. But they could take your cell phone and put that apart and fix anything on it. They could pull down your computer and put that back together. They could take your flat screen TV and they could fix it. We need to start channeling people and their giftings and celebrate people based upon their giftings and not upon a piece of paper that we got out of England to tell us that this is what you need to qualify yourself in order to be successful.
I can't say nothing more, you know, Mr. Reid. So we have to change the curricular system to benefit.
That's messed up.
Yes.
And then we're wondering why people fail it.
And that's why the kids don't like school.
Scrooge.
That's why they don't like school.
I decided, right, because I'm so sick of BPL, right?
Uh-huh.
I decided I have this central air conditioning in my house.
Yes, sir.
Causing me to have to wait that hard to try and get BPL all my money.
Uh-huh.
So somebody told me, say, but look here, but they got some ductless units that have like 23 cells. You put them in the house, they'll reduce the energy. So I decided I can buy some of them, put some of them inside the house. I got this fella to come and put it in. When Luke came to put in this thing, I never asked Luke where his certificate is, where he be in the school to put in air condition.
That's a good idea.
But he made, for each unit, he put in three units at $250 per unit, so he made $750 in one day. Putting in three ductless units. And asked him if he ever been to jail, he had police wreck. I didn't ask him none of that. All I wanted to know, if he could do the work. Brothers, hear me good, boy. All you have to do is to find something that you good at. What it is that you good at. And do that. Stop allowing people to dictate what your future going to be. And stop living your life based upon people's perception of you. Because somebody told me that another person's perception of who you are does not have to become your reality. Wow.
You know, Mr. Reid, how you talk about school and changing the curriculum to benefit those who are not academically inclined, you know, they might not be good in A and B, and like you say, the algebra, you do the biology on the frog, and after this day, you still ain't using it from that. You know, the other thing you talk about, you cautious smoke weed. So, Mr. Reid, if you look at our students, especially when you look on social media, and before off air, we was talking about the attitude of the kids, you know, we're seeing a lot of females, you know, who going to school, since we know, let's take the emphasis off the male. But we're seeing the females, you know, fighting in uniform. Police officers stand on the side. They can't break these young females up. So you say we need to be able to get in the minds of these young ladies and young gentlemen to say, you know what, you could learn cosmetology, you know, or we could learn hair braiding. Yeah, I might not be good in A and B and all this thing, but yes, in school, we have these trading classes where I could go to, you know, classes I could go to. I can learn this particular trade. I have 20 trades to pick from, and it's very beneficial because you just give a prime example. You know, yeah, ask a young man if he have AC or if he ain't been in jail. But what you're saying is that this gentleman was able to come to your house, wire the AC up proper, like a real professional, and he make how much?
250 units. That's 3 units. So, $750 one day.
Okay. Now, listen to this now. $750 in one day. Now you think about this: people on government jobs and they making like what? How much a year? How much a month? $25.
Less than $100 a day.
Less than $100 a day. What the young man just make this now?
$750.
The painted guy on Market Street, my boy, Gainey. You know what he's make a day? Just selling painted. And you would look at him and you and say things to him, and he's make close to $200 a day by
Mother Butler. See where that come from, right? See, they told us, right? Learn your lesson so you could get a good job. That's what they taught me in school. But learn your lesson so you could get a good job. Not one of my teachers told me learn my lesson so I could own my own job.
Ah.
See, because they don't want you to be able to own. All right. I remember when I went to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my mom, we went to the bank. We was building some apartments on Carmichael Road.
Yes, sir.
We invested over almost $200,000 in like these units, and we needed $90,000 to complete the unit. I went to the bank and to go borrow this money. Are you sure now I can get this money? Because I don't know people that go to the bank and just have property and get the money. So he goes to Finco. Finco, we sit down, talk to the people, them then almost an hour. Then the woman said, "Well, I'm sorry, but we won't be able to help you." I was so like deflated. I was bugged. So me being the person that I am, I asked the woman, I said, "Well, look here, well, why? I know people as like just get property and y'all is just build house for them without them having to come up with no down payment. You just use the property as a down payment." Lateral. This when it hit me. School watches. This when it hit me. She said, "Mr. Reid, if you was building a house, that wouldn't even be in a problem. But I build an apartment." See, they tell you you could get out of the rat race, but they ain't going to help you get out of the rat race. Mentality is what you pull out of that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They'll help you get a house. Why? Because a house is not an investment. I mean, let me put it, it's not an asset.
Mm.
An asset is anything what brings money to you. A liability is what takes money from you. As long as they know that you could be the slave, you just go and go get money and bring it to them, they cool with that. But if you can get where now I ain't gonna need you no more, they ain't gonna help you get down.
You know, Mr. Reid, man, the layoff gone off a line of about 15, 20 years ago. Most of those people had mortgages in Pinewood Garden, okay? And the bank was offering car and house, but the house was mortgages. And most of these houses were crown land. I think some of these houses was costing Bahamians close to $250,000 in this particular community. But most people was working at Atlantis. And I saw like when a lot of them got laid off, I think it was around something that happened. And they laid off a couple hundred employees over there. And then some people committed suicide. And then some people had payment like for about 2-3 months left on their house, and they wasn't able to pay it because they didn't have the money and wasn't able to make the mortgage. So this kind of...
And the sad thing was, right, is that the house defined who they was. Anytime things define you, you live in a shaky life. Remember this now, right? In the Bible, the Bible talks about this rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, man, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, keep all the Ten Commandments. He said, man, I've done this from when I was a little boy. Jesus said, you said right. He said, now go away and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. The Bible says that this man left there quite distressed. What was his name?
I can't.
The rich young ruler.
The rich young ruler is his name.
The rich, this is what defined me. Right. I'm a rich young ruler. I'm just not a young ruler. I'm a rich young ruler. If I sell everything that I have, I'll just be a young ruler. But my significance comes based upon what I have. Screw it, there has to be something in us that's more powerful than the things around us.
Mm.
Because if our power and our significance is predicated on the things around us, then we live in shaky lives. What's in you has to be more stronger. Who you are is more important than what you have. Wow. It's not what you drive, but what drives you. Mm. It's not what's on you, but what's in you. And these the kind of education that we got to get teach. Inside our little young Negro brothers and sisters now. Yeah. You talk about like the girls them. You see in like the girls them fighting more than the boys them.
Uh-huh.
Because they're trying to find themselves. But who is directing them? People, in most cases, who don't know who they are. We living in post-pandemic, post-COVID era. And I don't think that even this country, the government and all our authorities, I don't think we understand the damage that this era placed on us. For the first time in the history of the Bahamas that I could think about, persons were confined to their homes. So people that couldn't get along were forced to get along. We live in the Bahamas. We live where even our women are taught to be strong black women.
Mm-hmm.
So they in homes with like their significant other, husband, whoever they live with. And you know, our Bahamian woman, they tell you how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your feelings get hurt, you
wouldn't.
All right. So before we were in COVID, if a brother feels threatened by a conversation, the conversation is not going the right way.
Yeah.
He say, well, you know something? Boy, I better get out here before I end up cutting a movie inside here. He said, man, let me come out this house before you cause me cut a movie. So he could have gone by the bar room, go in the park, go for a drive to go clear his head. But now I can't go nowhere.
I hear about this.
I'm stuck in this house.
Bad things got
from. So now you're pulling out some things, and this goes two way. The brothers like on the sister's case, sisters on the brother's case. Yes. So now the children them gotta watch all of this stuff going on inside those. Now these people who telling me to get along with people when I go to school, they telling me I need to learn how to live with people. I gotta stop fighting. I can't be like getting in all these arguments and all of that. But I watching you all inside the house trying to kill one another. Then I gotta go to school.
So they program now from seeing that.
I gotta go to school. I damage. But ain't nobody care that I damage. So because y'all frustrated, y'all frustrate me because damaged people have damaged kids. You see what I'm saying? Now I'm damaged, so I'm going to school damaged, and you expecting me to act right? My teachers will tell you this is the worst that they've ever had it inside schools. We don't know half of the story. Right now, right, even teachers are they still trying to get some students to come back to school.
Yeah, I saw it on ministry stating that.
I remember we did a walk about a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I saw you.
We had to go looking for these kids. Them, they hiding inside the house.
Yeah.
And the parents, I'm glad they home now because now they can help them clean up the house while they go do other things.
Mm.
Scrooge, we in a predicament in this country. And the only way we can get out of this predicament if we start to educate our people in the
give
right
them
way.
Opportunities.
You see what I'm saying? And not only just educate them, but we got to be able to provide like economic empowerment for our people, other than people looking for jobs.
And that could break it down where it starts to find out, because now you get empowerment. I could hire this one could hire this one, you know, and it started to spread and start to show love, and it solved itself eventually. I understand everything you're saying, Mr. Reed.
See, so what I've been doing, I've been going to some of the hoods in now, so finding some of these persons that are influential. Some of these places got like construction company around them and they don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going down inside like the big yard.
Come right now, call her.
And I go down to the big yard and I started talking to this fella. Talk fellas, we pull up something on me and Pastor Key, we went down there. And we started talking. When I look up, I saw about 30 fellas them like gathered around, because I was talking the same kind of thing what we talking now.
Yes, sir.
And this fella was a mason. The boy was a carpenter. Next fella came was an electrical. He was electrician. The next one was a plumber. So they had a whole construction company and they didn't know. So my goal is to be able to help brothers like these get their business license so they can set up their damn business.
Yes.
You see them set up an account, and then look here. You got people in this country making millions of dollars through construction.
Mm-hmm.
But these fellas, them, because they are not educated, they don't believe that they could form a company. But you don't need education to have a company.
Well, if we look at what happened many years ago with Frankie Wilson and the Sunshine Group of Companies with Bradley Roberts, they didn't know nothing about that, but Bradley Roberts helped organize it. They start off at $5,000 a piece, and now they are multi-millionaires.
Exactly.
They combine together, they're billionaires. So
when we have fellas them starting to come together like this and they start to concentrate on building company, then they ain't going to have to build gangs, because
it comes to gang now, because you have guys who are all head, but all of us are making money. So it takes the equation out there, takes the mindset. Boy, listen, we get this place. Mr. Reed, I just get a set up our business. Some type of person, you know, has an old abandoned house. They're asking me to look for good people who I could vouch for. The only problem is, when I come to you guys, y'all on me, that means I'm going to be able to set y'all up. You know, it's a 60,000.
But go a little deeper now. Every area, right? Even every area, all of us come up in groups.
Yes,
where you had people that were skilled with their hands, but it always was some smart fellow with book smart.
Yes.
You find the book smart boys and let him put all of the figures
together.
Find where people are gifted at and allow people to explore their giftings.
Yes, because you said it just now.
Everybody don't have to be smart with 50 cents. Yes. I never been to Howard, but I hire people who been to Howard.
And just like you said, you know, you said you was in a particular sport and you're able to find an electrician, you can find a plumber, and that one particular sport helped them set up their businesses. And like you said, you know, that's a good a prime example I'm trying to give. Like how, you know, contract come, you just meet a person who watching for you, the opportunity to present itself. Now, there's 6-7 guys who live in the neighborhood. These 7 guys, you know, have some type of connection with somebody in the area who have some type of little problem with somebody. But now these 2 guys, you know, get together. They're a team now.
They're waking together.
They see them sitting down drinking, because this happened to us when we was over at Lannis.
The goal change.
Yes, and then what it does, it brings friendship. And then, you know, the most fun part about it is when payday come. When payday come and you look at that check and see when $2,500 and your so-called friend or person you was having a problem with, it ain't like that no more.
Mm.
You know, because now it's trickling down, you know, and people are fine, and their mindset will actually change. Yes, more investment and empowerment. I think we get a call, Mr. Reed. Let me take it. Go ahead, call up.
Yeah, can I call in the show, please?
Go ahead, y'all. Your radio up.
Hello?
You can't. Your radio too hot. Too light.
I can't hear you.
Your radio backing up.
Okay, turn it down. Let me turn it down. Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello, Sparky?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sparky. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, what's up? Night. What's up, Sparky?
Oh, you know, listen to y'all. Y'all so hot. Y'all even didn't hear your phone ringing. Y'all even got the telco in me. Nice hot topic, everything. I can feel the passion coming through the telephone and the radio.
Yes, sir.
But you know, all the Los Carlos, let me tell you something. We got some young kids out there really thinking out of the box, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got 3 grandchildren, and Carlos, I'm getting ready to start a farm off Gladstone Road as long as soon as we get the access road to get
right.
to it.
Right.
The government has promised from 2021 that it's going to build this access road so we can get to the farm. We already got the property deeds and everything.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of us are farmers out there, but we can't get to the farm to start it because they haven't done the access road. Now, they are attempting to do it now. But the thing is, Carlos, I got 3 grandkids. And they have daddy, granddaddy, just call me daddy, getting ready to start this farm called On We Go Farm. O-N-V-W-E-G-O. On We Go.
Okay.
It's like On We Go from here.
Okay.
We've been crying and talking about all the stuff we import.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to encourage them as well. There's been farmers out there long before us.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing it in the Out Islands, but a lot of the old farmers dying out. And the young men, they're into jeans, New York Yankees hat, T-shirt, and Guinness and sitting on the wall. You know, they ain't really into getting your being a baby in day.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you have some young ones out there. I'm an old goat. I'm 72 trying to start a farm. You can imagine that. I got 2 granddaughters. My youngest one, Carlos, is just finished high school, getting ready to start college in the United States.
Okay.
And would you believe it, all my grandchildren, the youngest one, the girl, is every time she calls me, Granddaddy, you start the farm yet?
Wow.
I'm ready to start getting my fingers dirty.
Okay.
My granddaughter won't work on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all in law.
No, sir.
Some out there got this drive and think that rather grow their own tomato than import tomato.
Mm-hmm.
We import, and we keep talking about it every year, Carlos, but the billions and millions of dollars that we import, but we wouldn't give the Haymans land to farm and grow land.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll give foreigners land to build shanty towns.
Wow.
You see the contradiction there?
Yes, sir.
You can come in my country, squat on land, 37 shanty towns in the southern area of New Providence and the eastern and the western southern area. You notice they wouldn't build there's shanty towns, where Vinton and Cable Beach and Old Fort Bay and Life is Key. They ain't going close to them rich people place, right?
No.
They grew it down on South Beach, East Street South, around Nassau Village. Anywhere where the poor black people live, they can mingle right in with you.
Right.
So you end up with 37 shanty down. Now you can't get them off the land.
And they're looking for a farm. I believe that growing is powerful. Let me tell you why, right? I came out of my house this morning.
Have a good night, guys.
Okay, thank you,
I came out of my house this morning, and I had this bunch of banana on my tree. I just let them rip on the tree, so I just come and pick them off the tree. And then I planted this cherry tree, and I was able to eat. There's something about planting right in your yard and coming out and being able to eat off a tree. It's powerful, you know? So if we could get some of our young people, particularly, where, like Sparky say, where they could get their hands dirty, I think it's a feeling of significance. Okay. But I grow this. And I'm seeing this happening in some of the schools. I saw my good boy, Mara, down my program,
yes.
Shore.
Yeah, yeah.
They have like some, what they call layers, right? And I didn't even know this. I've been on planet
the
a long
egg.
Time, right? Yeah. And I didn't know that the chicken that lay eggs didn't have to mate with the rooster. That once you, it's like it's genetic. That once you are lay, you just lay eggs.
Yeah, that's a layer.
So when I go on and he say all of these are layers, he said, well, where the rooster? Because in our mind, we figure in order for them to lay egg, they got to have sex.
I learned about you too, Nash. I learned about you too, Nash.
Don't have to do that. I didn't even know that. That's a big man. Yes. I didn't know that. But I saw where they growing all of this, the vegetables, and each one of the fellas that go up there, they have a row. And when they grow the stuff, they can carry them home. That's a sense of significance. Look at my tomato, like Spark. He said, look at my cucumber.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So, and you touched on something earlier, right? I believe that once our kids come to the 9th grade in school, we supposed by, and I hope the Minister of Education hearing me tonight, right? Once we come through, school at the ninth grade, if they do proper follow-up, you could determine whether a child is academically inclined or not. If they're not academically inclined, why keep pushing them through a system what can fail them? Why not say, all right, hey, come here, Bob, this ain't working for you. I tell you what they can do, right? Let's find out what you good with. Let's try him out in electrical, plumbing, carpentry, mechanic. Let's stop like making these professions like less glamorous than being like a coat and tie fella, because plenty of people in coat and tie, he ain't making no money.
No.
You see what I'm saying? Look, it's so difficult to find like a good mechanic now, to find a good electrician, to find a good air-conditioned person. We need to start teaching these things in school.
Yes.
You don't have to be smart to know these things.
Yes.
And my good friend, Alexia Coakley, she just texted us now, yes. Right? Say, BTVI offering these classes for free.
Wow.
So, brothers, if you say you can't find, go down to BTVI, sign up, learn a trade. You can make plenty of money.
Because
you ain't got to be smart. You ain't going to have no bunch of BGC, SC, and all of that stuff. Go learn how to do something.
Listen to what Mr. Reed said. The other day, they had an interview by the Sports Center. I think it was the Hilton. Do you see how much behemoths went out there? Over 3,000 people went for a job. It's only how much?
Because that's what we've been taught. Get a job. But look here, own a job. You can imagine if you learn how to fix an air conditioner.
You win.
If you learn how to build cabinet,
you could
just start your own business.
Because
you don't have to
customers.
Be sitting down taking people's stupidness on no job, and then you could go do your own.
And put this in school, you know, like all these stuff you talk about. What about barbering? Listen, yeah. Barbering, you create your own job,
right.
Your own business.
Some of these guys here.
Cosmetology.
Look, yeah.
Create your own spot.
My daughter come to me. My lovely daughter. She ain't gonna like me talking about it, right? But that's all right. She 2 weeks ago, a month ago, she came to me, Daddy, I need to get my hair fixed, right? That's $100 I got to draw about, right? Then she come back 2 weeks later. I say, but the $100 thing, she said, no, here I can't stay in the loan. So here's what I found out. Y'all young ladies, if y'all listen to me, but you hear me, but look here, once you grab a customer in the hair business, but all you need is 120 of them and you straight.
Yes.
Every 2 weeks, they can spend $100? You do the math.
Your boyfriend can spend that money if you want. Right? If you want
to
take your
hair. Let me tell you something. These woman them, trust me, a woman them, they can spend on their hair and their nails. But I don't care. I ain't nobody that's finding the money, but they can. That hair going to be on point.
Yeah.
So learn, young ladies, stop looking for jobs.
Because
start looking to own your own business. Learn something. Go to BTVI. They're giving these things out for free. Go down there. Take up one course. What is it called? Any nailology? What is
it called?
I see you be trying to use. Yeah, cosmetology. I see you be trying to use some big words on the show, right? Go learn some cosmetology. Learn how to fix some hair. Do some hair braiding.
Right?
Young fellas, them go learn how to cut hair, but plenty money ain't cutting hair. I know one young fella right now, right?
Yes, sir.
My good friend Bond, this young fella, he's a motivational speaker and everything, right? He started off cutting hair. He have his own barbershop right now. King's Barbershop right there on Robertson Road. Y'all go check him out. Mark, the best barber in Nassau.
Mark?
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, young fella.
All right.
He from Haitian descent, but he come up and he got a whole heap of barbers now renting boots inside the shop.
Listen, Mr. Reed telling y'all, the right thing to listen to. You see all them people going to the sports center looking for work. You don't need to be like that. Listen, go in and line a trade, and you can celebrate on your side of the yard, barbershop,
under the tree, one floorboard.
Go back in the agriculture, Mr. Reed, talk about that. You know, talk about it. Go to school, learn these trades, and go do these stuff. People
find what you good at.
People want to buy sour pepper and stuff like that.
Fine. Now, everybody ain't good at everything. But you got to find what you good at. Something what, like, you good at. Not what you like now. It's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
See, me, because I like computer, but I ain't smart like that. Only three subjects I like when I was in school, that was break time, lunchtime, and
B.
Everybody ain't smart. Everybody can't do everything.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? You can imagine me talking about, I can't go. I can't go be one singer. I can't sing. I can't hold a note. If I put two on, I'd be crazy. So that ain't for me.
You're making me laugh.
That ain't for me.
Yes, sir.
Could put me in a room with people and a microphone in my hand. I good.
You bad.
I good like that.
You bad, you see what I'm saying?
I good like that. You know what I mean? That's my passion. Yeah, I good at
that's
that.
What you're good at.
I cause people to dream and to see themselves better than what they see themselves now. That's a gift what God gave me.
Motivation.
What I'm saying is you got to find that gift. What gift God give you? Your gift might be in fixing car.
Yeah.
Your gift might be in fixing TV.
Yes.
Guess what? Every lawyer, every doctor got a TV.
Yeah.
Every one of them got a car. Okay, your one might be in cutting grass. Do you know that every person in this country would have a house, got some grass in the yard, would need to cut? And they too busy to cut it? Who's supposed to cut it?
Landscapers.
You know how much, look, I got a friend right now, and I got a lot of young brothers right now who are doing good for themselves.
Yes, sir.
And this young brother right now, he's on his way, like, to being a multi-millionaire.
Off of landscaping.
This fella is doing about 3 to 5 yards a day, right? And the least amount the yard costs is $100.
And he created his own avenue.
Own business, and guess what? Let me tell you something, to start. A landscape business, right? Stop letting people tell you need no big amount of money. All you need is a lawnmower
and a weed whacker.
A rake. You don't even need the weed whacker yet.
Right, okay.
You could start with a lawnmower, a cutlass, and a rake. And you could start right in your community. And the good thing about, like, when you do a yard, if you do it good, that yard can grow again.
Yes.
That grass can grow.
And if you do
when you don't cut the grass, go pray to God, say, send the rain.
And guess what, Mr. Reid? You would end up letting the clientele, so you had no work, right? But you have a trade, and you would end up with 6 or 7 people in that community who charge you.
Exactly.
You say, I can charge 100, Mom. You can give me 70. I can buy it up and bill it.
And all of them wait for somebody.
Right.
So on the job, Ron, like in the lunchroom, say, but I'm looking for some good fella to clean the yard. The fella what used to clean my yard, they just sent him back to Haiti the other day. I know a little young fella what is clean yard. I can set you up. So you start branching out.
Yes,
you get some little cards and things print up, right? And you put, like, find a company name. Get one of your friends what could do graphic artists, do some business card. And when you go to cut that one yard in that community, go around to the houses and stick them in the door.
Yes. Be creative, people, you know.
That's all.
You have to be creative.
Then, before long, you get so much clientele, you could go and buy yourself a truck.
Yes, sir.
Buy the weed rock and you start buying tools what make the job
easier
more efficient,
and efficient,
easier to do it. And you see what I'm saying?
That's the mindset we need to encourage the young people.
Exactly.
And I think what Mr. Reid is saying, if we start all these things with the curricula in the schools and we start to encourage people to help them empower themselves, eventually this is going to take out the hostility in people and they have a purpose, you know, a purpose now to say, you know what, I don't have to think negative or have to even worry about that guy no more, because basically what I'm looking at now, I don't need to stay in this house, like Mr.
Exactly.
Reid say. You know, I have 7 yards, 8 yards. I don't need to be, listen to my neighbor no more. I could go and rent this place around here.
Let me go make that money.
And I don't have to worry about hurting them no more. I don't need to think about buying a gun or putting one around them. I have more options now because I look at this year. In a year time, I can make myself 40 grand, right? So I have options now. So I'm going to take this option. The hell with him.
And not only that, when you start getting out, you start to meet people.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. The key.
The mindset
the
is changed.
The key to success is meeting people, yeah?
Yes, sir.
One person can come into your life and change your whole life.
Yes.
Change your whole trajectory of your life. You see what I'm saying? And that's where we got to get, but we got to, like, change mindsets now. It comes down to mindsets.
I want to say this. As much as me and you here speaking to the general public, I want to say this to each and every one out there. Your ways, stop being jealous, stop being petty and envious of people, okay?
Well, you know where that come from?
That's
a slave mentality. You ever hear about a name called Willie Lynch?
Willie Lynch, yeah.
Willie Lynch was a slave owner,
mm-hmm.
and he came up with this plan, right, where he told other slave owners, look here, you don't have to beat your slaves to control them. He said, this is how you control them. All you do is, like, you cause them to see the differences among themselves. So you turn the dark set against the light set, the tall set against the short set, the picky ear against the long hair.
So
let them identify their differences and use their differences among them. And that's the same thing we got today. Me and you don't have to be alike. If you and I just alike, then that makes one of us unnecessary, and I can believe it's you. I okay being me. I can't think about another person in this world that I would like to be other than Carlos Reed.
Well, I mean, Mr. Reed, so Evan, why are, and you explained to the English boy, and that's a great master plan, because that boy, listen, that destroyed millions.
That's
boy,
still alive today, the Willie Lynch syndrome, they call it.
How do we get rid of that mindset of thinking in our people?
Causing people to believe in themselves. It comes down to full self-esteem. You got to believe in you. How could you expect somebody to believe in you and you don't believe in yourself? How could you expect somebody to love you when you don't love yourself? But I love myself more than I love my wife. How you can love somebody more than you love yourself? Even the Bible say, love your neighbor as you what?
Love yourself.
You got to first love yourself in order for you to be able to love your neighbor. And when we come and start to love, appreciate ourselves, and build our own self-esteem, then now we don't have to be jealous and envious of other people. It's okay for you to be successful. If you're successful, why I got to hate you because you're successful? All I have to do is to find out, but screw it, you get successful. Mm-hmm. So I can become successful too. You can tell me that you got all the money in the world where I can't get some too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
this mentality, particularly in our hood, we hate people that successful. I remember Dr. Miles Monroe told me, I never forgot this. He said, Carlos, if you want people to like you, sell ice cream.
What? That's what
he said. So everybody's like the ice cream man. He said, but you, there's greatness on your life. And I can tell you now, when you start becoming who I know you're going to be, some people can dislike you just because of who you are. And that's the truth. But you can't worry yourself about who don't like you. Mm-hmm. Like I said, but I ain't in the popularity business. Mm-hmm. I ain't no politician. Mm-hmm. I can care less who don't like me as long as the people who gonna pay the bill like me. I got
this bathroom played off.
The people don't like you, they bring in something to you. Like, they ain't bringing
nothing. What they need to go do is focus on their life and see if they can accomplish some goals.
But it's easier to focus on you than to focus on them. Why? Because when they see they self, they see weak.
That's what it's be.
So if I look at you and I get a problem with you, I only get out of that problem. But if I have a problem with me, then it costs me now to light the gun on. But you need to do some work to fix what you don't like about you.
Oh, because we stink, man, Mr. Reed. You know, we have this thing where we don't like to see one another uplift. What is the problem? Why? What is the reason? Why? The gentleman there, okay, a nice little job doing good for yourself.
You mad with him.
You mad with him.
Well, like you can get any position because you mad with him. Or you can get any house because you mad with him. I ain't never seen nobody get nobody house because they get mad with them.
And the person you looking at don't give a crap about you as an individual. You don't exist to this person. Like you said, you don't care, you know, because you're not paying BPS. So this person who you looking at and envious and jealous about don't even care about you because the mindset is different. This person is thinking about how I'm going to get my house, how I'm going to get married, how I'm going to go travel.
Yeah, how I'm going down to Dubai. Yeah, time to go look at like the chic German thing you were. But
yeah, you ready to sit down on the blocks.
Hey, boy, but these Negroes and then you got to joking.
Pointing at this one. Oh, look at this girl there, this and that. Well, I don't like this one, this and you're doing it. But these people elevating themselves. You know what they elevating themselves? Because they're not warm with people who are.
Look, let me tell you something, yeah? And I hope some people would listen and hear me tonight. It's all right for you to love yourself, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know on WhatsApp now that you could WhatsApp yourself?
I think
you worry about people by saying you're one self a message. Hey,
really
screw it. If I post something on Facebook, I can care whether you like that or I like it myself.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know you can like your own post?
Yeah.
Look here, I just figured something out today. Do you know that you could send your own self a gift from Amazon or eBay?
Oh.
Stop depending upon people to make you feel valuable and important and do that to yourself. Don't allow these jokers to sabotage your mentality because they don't like you or what they say about you. So what? Everybody's talking with people.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking with people. You worrying about who talk with you? Mm. They don't pay none of your bills. Stop bringing yourself down to people level because people say this or carry something about you. You know what Michelle Obama say?
Go ahead.
When they go low, we go high. Tell some people, come up. Stop coming down to people level. I refuse to come down to people level.
Wow.
I done passed that stage in my life. I getting too old for stupidness. No, you got to make some sense now.
Make some sense. Yeah.
If you ain't making no sense, everything cool. What I find out, right?
Go ahead, Mr. Ray.
There's some people in my life I don't have to see, you know. Mm. I could stomach you for a little while, you know.
Oh, I see. Some people
don't. Now, in my house, that's a different story because I got to come home to you. But if you're in my house, I don't have to see you. I said, yeah, okay. I was on a radio show one day. This fellow, by the time I reached by the Hope Center, he done drive over there, right? Carlos Reed, I hear you on the radio. I ain't agree with what you say. I said, okay.
Come by here, please.
Okay. He expected me to have an argument. You don't have to like what I say. You don't even have to agree with what I say. That's okay. I don't expect everybody to agree with what I say. I don't expect everybody to like me. I don't expect everybody to want to be my friend. That's okay. But don't think I can lose any sleep over it.
You gotta be joking. I got a papers. I want assignment now. You know?
Well, that's crazy. Mr. Reed, we can take this call. I think we can call. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Good night. Sorry for taking a little while, Mr. Reed, making me laugh so much. Go ahead.
It's good, and you know what? I'm the person that likes to hear you laugh. I really like to hear you when you get a good laugh. But this is gentlemen. I hope you are paying attention to Mr. Reed. Now, remember, although you're calling him Mr. Carlos Reed, he has another name behind his name.
Doctor. Yes, sir.
And that is why I keep telling you, you need to take some classes and get something else behind your name.
Yes, sir.
Because, see, you will end up walking with kings and queens, just like Mr. Reed.
Yes, sir.
So you got to be able to, you know, they like those people with little names or added on to their
name. You said it earlier. How you want to be addressed, Mr. Reed? Say that.
Yeah, but listen.
Go ahead, sir.
I was listening to Mr. Reed. I really don't like him much, but I was listening to him and I got to understand him a little bit more.
I like that.
And I'm now appreciating him.
Okay.
But I used to be a teacher, and I was hearing him talk about when he was in school. I taught for 28 years. And sometimes I would go to school and don't feel like teaching my subject. So imagine the children. So what I used to do is tell them, look, we're going to have a discussion today, and I want you boys to respect the girls. And girls respect the boys. And we can talk about anything. I don't care what it is. Once you do it respectfully. Right then, I was trying to teach them how to coexist with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be rude. That is a lot of what we are missing in the school education and curriculum today.
Yes, sir.
Like Dr. Reed said, he has never put algebra on the table or to buy anything or do anything.
Yes, sir.
Me neither. Anytime I get to the alphabet in math, I'm lost. I had to take a class in college four times. The woman asked me if I retarded. Once we got to the alphabet, that was it. But now, one of these days, Mr. Brown, I want to pick you up and bring you and show you who I am.
I'm definitely waiting for the opportunity.
I was considered the one out of all my mother's children, the one not to make it. My mommy sent me to school to learn a trade because she said, "Now I'm not a book student." But today I have more than all my brothers and sisters.
Wow!
In most cases, I might have more than all of them combined.
See,
I don't know.
Stuff you're talking about.
But man, I'm the one that was less likely to make it because I went down the road somewhat like you and Mr. Reed and Dr. Reed and yourself.
Yes, sir.
So you cannot. And then let me tell you another thing what I did in class. I would always pick on the student who the children called dumb.
Mm.
And I asked him a question. And I would try to get them to understand this. Don't say he's dumb. This is a school. This is where you learn.
Mm.
And part of my job is to help you learn.
Mm.
And it don't have to be in the subject we are supposed to be doing.
Mm.
We need to spend more time talking to our students when they come to school. I'm teaching them about all this English history. And we can't find none of our African history to talk about. But they teach us more colonial things. Mm-hmm. They still got us programmed. We're coming out of it because a lot of us are thinking different now. Yeah. I mean, a few of us, rather. We're thinking different. So we're slowly coming out of this thing with that mentality. And like you said, more people are going to start getting their little jobs and doing. They're going to realize they can live just as good as the people, almost as good as the people in life they keep. Some of them people in life they keep broke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a facade they got to live. You don't want to know what the hell some of them catching on them.
Mm-hmm.
And those in the influential areas.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my students, they have their own business. I know I had one girl in my class. She was a bike manager and all.
Mm.
And I don't know nothing about math. But I don't know what effect I may have had on her life. And every time she see me, she give me the biggest hug and tell me how good a teacher I was. And she'd tell her friends, this is the coolest teacher in the Bahamas. Because I allowed them to express themselves. And if they wanted to talk privately about something without the other kids around, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
That the teachers have to be allowed. This curriculum thing, that don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Writing lesson plans. Hey, listen, mm-hmm. I did a calculation on actually how many days you could possibly teach for a year, and it came to about 80-something.
Wow.
You have fights. The water is off. The electricity is off. Hurricane coming. This coming. You got special day. You got graduation day. And when you subtract all those days, don't let it miss in rain. Because
wow.
Everything stops.
Mm.
When you subtract all those days, there are only about 80-something days of my calculation
that's crazy.
Can really teach for throughout the year.
Wow.
And in that year, we don't put any time into hearing what the students are thinking. We're always just trying to get through this curriculum because the Ministry of Education, if you don't do that, mm-hmm. you get a bad grade.
Right.
If you don't complete that and they don't see all this. Right. And most of the time you're lying because ain't no way you can complete the curriculum and the lesson plan. You can't keep up with that because every week is something different going on in school. Mm-hmm. So they're making teachers liars.
Wow.
If the teachers want to get honest.
And this the most holidays or what they have in schools. Well, I don't know. Every day I see school dismissed.
Right.
I don't know what's coming. What's going on?
How much teaching do you think actually goes on?
12 o'clock school open sometimes on a regular basis.
Right.
What's going on?
But that's a lot of pressure for teachers.
Of a student because we're trying to pump these other things in there. Mm-hmm. Like Mr. Reed said, he hasn't used anything in school. I use very little. I learned in college.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go where you are designed to go or what you're being taught. Most people don't go into their careers, you know, when they finish college.
Yes.
So you have to learn as you go. But we as a country need to get away from this colonial thing of teaching.
Yes.
Spend some time sitting down discussing life with these students. I tell them, and you know, the 12th grade, whenever they're leaving, I tell all of them, buy yourself a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
Build your own house for you, even no matter how small it is.
Right.
Have something of your own.
Right, that's good.
And that's what they need to teach us
teach
as a people. All this other stuff about going to the moon. How much of us going to the moon? I know, I don't know, even fly that high. I at 30,000 feet, I shake it on the plane.
Oh, Lord.
So let's stop teaching them to go to the moon.
Yes.
And probably more time teaching them how to live among themselves.
Yeah.
We may be better off.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for allowing me to share.
My pleasure. You did a wonderful job.
Something is powerful in that, right? Let me tell you something, Scrooge, and I hope folks listening get this. You ain't a citizen of the Commonwealth of Bahamas.
What we is?
If you don't own a piece of property.
Well, I know my cousin listening right now.
He said the same thing.
Say it again.
You are not a citizen of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. Just because you get a passport. When I got this revelation, it changed my perspective.
Well,
see, I'm sitting in this room right
now.
The owner of this place could come and say, come over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to come. I go in the parking lot. They say, come off this property. I go in the road. The police could come and say, come off this road. Wherever I go, somebody could tell me come. You got to have a place where he nobody could tell you move.
Ah. That's what makes you be an independent.
You got to own a piece of the rock, bro.
That makes you independent.
I'm telling you. See, don't
let
this
system. Something like this?
Now, the system design,
mm-hmm.
the first thing that people want to get when they find a job, they want to get a car.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the car roll off the lot,
$20,000
car. It goes down.
So if it's $20,
the depreciate, it starts to depreciate. Property go up. The whole of the Bible, you see the war they got going on right now in Israel.
I was
going
to ask you something.
Right, with ISIS and things.
That's two
brothers. All that over property.
That's two brothers, right? Jacob and Isaac.
No, Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob, right? See, not just that. It goes back further.
Mm-hmm.
Right, remember Isaac and what was Isaac's brother's name? It come and think him, right?
Remember
now that one was supposed to be the promise.
Yeah.
Isaac was supposed to be the promise, but then Sarah gonna tell Abraham to go with her handmaiden, Esau, right? And he gonna go have a child with the handmaiden. And they Sarah gonna tell Abraham, send her away. Now, as far as he concerned, but like they robbed me out of my birthright. I supposed to be the firstborn.
Yeah, that's the one who hold his healing. Eh?
No, that was Jacob. Jacob, Esau.
They're similar. Right? They're similar.
They come in. Yeah, you know, I know. Right,
go ahead,
because right?
You thought.
But then, see, they were twins.
Yes,
but one came out, and that's when, his mother caused him to die to swing a bigger brother.
Okay, yeah.
You know, by going to put the wool on his arm and making the daddy feel like he was like Esau. And then when the daddy touched him, he speak the blessing over
and
him.
And the blessing to the earth.
You see what I'm saying? But then now Esau felt like, but my brother swing me out of this.
Uh-huh.
And this is where he had to go run for years and hide. And then he came back later. You see what I'm saying?
Brother,
but think about this. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they went through a lot of territory.
Mm-hmm.
They had to conquer a lot of territory and take ownership of people's land. All of these people are descendants. As far as they're concerned, but I ain't into what you're going to tell you. This is my property. You come and kill off my people and take this property. They'll never find peace. This is why the Bible says we got to pray for Israel, because Israel will never find peace because of how the situation went.
Wow.
Some people over there, they still hate. That's like us going down, like we come from the Bahamas. We say, God tell us, say, baby, look here, I want you all to go take over Dubai. We go down to Dubai, we kill up the people, take the thing off. Them people them got descendants, you know. As far as they concerned, but I ain't into what your God tell you. That's your God. You see what I'm saying? You all going to take my property, kill my people, them. You see what I'm saying? So they always fighting over it. The whole thing that I'm saying, right, is that the whole of the Bible is always being about land. From the beginning straight to the end, it's about land. So land is important to God. God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not
perish. He created this down here, right? Placed like his own image on earth to govern this world for him. You see what I'm saying? So the whole thing, Bahamas, get yourself a piece of land. Stop investing in all of these things, trying to impress people and own a piece of land. That's the most important thing. When you go start waking, get yourself a piece of land. If you put a banana tree on your piece of land, that's your banana tree.
Yeah. And stop being jealous and watching people's stuff and, you know, and go there and put your mindset in the right order so that you would have a good future. Stop trying to bring down your brother's Black Rob syndrome. What's his name, Willie Lynch?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a boy. He's a genius.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still alive today. Because
boy, he get us mixed right up. Mr. Reed, you want to say anything before we go?
Look here, man. I just want to encourage the country.
Mm-hmm.
We are in an epidemic, even though we just came out of epidemic.
Yes,
where
sir.
We love one another. We're killing up one another, trying to find ourselves. But if we even look at our complexion, all of us
are the same.
We're the same. And if we go back in our family tree and we trace it, chances are we're going to find where we connected somewhere.
Family.
Let's stop killing up one another, because a lot of things will be killing up one another off if we really get the true story for it. It really ain't even that worth it. There are a lot of brothers out there, some of these wars that y'all fighting, but it ain't even what people trying to make y'all believe is about. A lot of y'all fighting over some of these fellas, them insecurity, because by somebody else take their girl, they don't like them, so they turn you against them. Now y'all killing up one another for a girl what don't even enter none of y'all. Let me tell you something, brothers. Hear me good. If you gonna fight, but you have a reason to fight.
Because you could die in a fight and you got to ask yourself, boy, what I dying for? You know my brothers right now inside prisons peeping out through the rail because they ain't think because they act. They just going to go cut a movie. Stop cutting movie unless you have a reason. You got to establish your why. Why I do what I do. Why I can ride on you. Why I hating on you. Why I going to work. Whatever you do in life, establish your why. Because your why determine what you could do, what you should do, and what you need to do. Oh. Everything comes down to your mindset. Why cause you to think? Some people come and say, let's go this place. Why? Let's go smoke dope. Why? Let's go link up with these fellas. Why? Establish your why. There's always a why.
Wow. If you're listening, you're hearing another Dr. Carlos Reid. Ain't much more I can say. The advice he gave, it's some great advice. And like he said, you know, this is a 21/7. And last week I said that most politicians don't go into politics to help nobody. But when they do get themselves involved with the politics, eventually they find their heart and compassion and the position they have to help a few people who they run into contact with. You know, and I also talk about the police. You know, the police is doing a very good, tremendous, tremendous job. But I also want to say this. The same way how Mr. Reid speaking, when people are getting brutalized in the station, and at the same time, we also remember that we have some criminal-minded people who be very disrespectful to the police at the same time in the station. Mm-hmm. So the police have to act that way towards those individuals. But at the same time, the police themselves, who are not properly trained, do abuse people in the police station. So what Carlos Reid is trying to say is we are here in the Bahamas. We in a state where we are governed by our own black people.
Yes.
Why do we have to be killing up one another? This is not America or Canada or none of these places. We are all be humans here. We have our own destiny in our hand. We are different from everyone else in the whole world. Mm-hmm. We ain't never supposed to be in the position we in. Mm-hmm. We are self-governed by our own brothers. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be killing and rowing and putting down one another in the country. This is supposed to be the most prosperous, kindest, loving country in the whole world, people. Mm-hmm. Listen to me, people. Listen, think about this. Look at all the countries around the world. Where do you see it is governed by just its black people?
Mm-hmm.
We are one of the few.
We all our destiny.
We have our own destiny in our hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Let's stop destroying it.
Let's stop destroying
it. Imagine now, right? Our tourism is our number one industry. Yes, sir. Imagine now we carrying on all of this lawlessness, right?
With all that trade.
Think about this, right? How your mommy gonna live, boy? How your little children them gonna live? If people them stop coming here because they scared to come here because like the violence they all hear about killing this, killing that, the murder rate up and all that stuff. How are we supposed to live?
And this takes
for
away all
what? And then you gotta ask yourself, for what? Why? Come right back to why? Why we gotta live like this? See, sometimes, right? We don't know how to talk to other people. But there's always somebody who link with somebody else. And I want to like reach out to like some of the OGs. Some of y'all need to grab some of these young brothers down and put them under your wings, man.
Instead of throwing guns in their hand because they could backfire and end up with your sons or your daughters or your aunt or your uncles. You understand?
You see, even like Bin Laden, right?
Yes.
America didn't give him guns first, you know?
Yeah.
Then he turned on America. Now we got a crisis.
Yeah.
Be careful. There are Frankensteins that you create inside the laboratory because they just come back at you. You see what I'm saying?
That's what
show brothers the sense. Show them sense, boy.
You see what
don't let these fellas them get to the point because sooner or later, right, they believe they can be the Scarface. You might be it today,
you
but they can die right around and they can be killing your children.
You don't see what happened in America? They train all them. You talk about Bin Laden and all the stuff. All those countries and organizations, they train like ISIS. You don't see what they come back to do? They come back to haunt them. Now they have a big problem around the world with these same people who they train.
Exactly. And yeah. Who they finance.
Now who they finance?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
So you better be careful how you're financing some of these fellas, some of these communities. Teach these young fellas them sense, boy. Let them start thinking. The worst thing you could do is let a young fella come up what he ain't got no common sense and then now teach him how to make money without teaching him how to think.
What happened?
A time bomb.
He can make all kinds of bad choices, irrational decisions.
A fool and his money don't go together.
Oh, remember you saying that.
So when you want to help these brothers them to become somebody, but you want people what could think. You don't just want it to be about money. You see what I'm saying?
I know, because yes, man. What?
See, remember now, right? When David was talking to his son, he tell his son Solomon, "Boy, look here. When you ask God, boy, ask God for wisdom, but don't ask Him for wealth, because if you get wisdom, you'll find out how to get wealth.
Wow.
But if you get wealth, if you ain't got no wisdom, then your wealth can go because you can't keep it." You see what I'm saying? See, wisdom could attract wealth, but stupidity would cause wealth to leave you. So in all you're getting, get knowledge, get understanding, get wisdom. I didn't know this. I remember one day I was sitting down in Dr. Miles Monroe office.
Yes, sir.
And I look around and I saw all of these books by Scrooge. I say, that's the most books I see in one place. You see, because I ain't nobody would have used to go to no library and nothing like that. So I say, Dr. Miles, "Oh, you get so smart to read all these books." Here's what he told me. He said, "Carlos, you don't have to be smart to read books, but if you read books, you could become smart." I said, "Well, I should be smart also." So I started to read books. I didn't always talk the way I talk. Mm-hmm. I didn't always know what I know now. It's because I devoted myself to accumulating knowledge. What it does is it changes the whole way, because whatever gets in your brain determines how you think.
Yes.
And as a man think it, So he began.
Ms. Reed, you're quite right. You're quite right.
So I start reading. I start listening to people. To Les Brown, T.D. Jakes, and Zig Ziglar, and Norman Vincent Peale.
I listen to them too.
Why? Because these people have gone where I desire to go.
And they speak the same tone of what you were speaking.
You're basically speaking the same language as them. What they know, yes. So I can go further than where they're going.
Yes,
not trying to be any of them. As much as I love my spiritual father, Dr. Miles Monroe, I do not desire to be him. I'm happy being Carlos Reed.
But, and closing out, Mr. Reed, that's like you say, you're Carlos Reed. That's why I don't understand this concept when I listen to Sports World. They're saying, if LeBron James better than
Does it matter? The two of them getting paid. the people who are arguing about who better, you broke.
You understand?
Come on, man.
It doesn't matter, people. He has been successful just like Michael Jordan. He has family. He's a billionaire. So what does it matter? You're watching the wrong set of things.
See, better. Michael Jordan was better or LeBron, we'll never know because LeBron now done hang it up. Michael Jordan done hang it up and LeBron's still playing.
That's right.
That ain't nothing we even need to worry about because that ain't putting no milk in your coffee.
No. Like with Jerry Jones, I'm going on this. Jerry Jones was doing an interview based on the comment that LeBron James said when he said, y'all went after, I can't remember the player was, who, I think it was Kyrie Irving. And you all penalize him. But Jerry Jones is in this picture. I listened to the interview with Jerry Jones. He was a young pitcher, Jerry Jones, one of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones said this. I listened to LeBron comment. I would not say nothing bad about LeBron James, because LeBron James has made us a lot of money. And he in football. Listen, Jerry Jones in football. And I listened to the guy, listen to this way. He said, I am not going to say nothing about LeBron. He's a very nice guy. But I know that he has made us a lot of money.
Right.
You understand what he's trying to say? He in football. But he have some type of partnership.
All of them link.
So you get the picture.
And that's how we got to start.
That's how we got to start.
Brothers, sisters out there. If you keep on thinking the way you always thought, then you keep on getting what you always got. If you don't get something different, then you got to do something different. If you don't get something that you never had before, then you got to do something that you never did. Find a problem to solve. Because when the problem meets the solution, wealth is born.
I want to thank you, Dr. Carlos Reed, for taking the time out and come on Guiding Radio 96. But now it's been a fun time. You make me laugh all night. And it was so nice, Mr. Reed, to have you on. And I enjoyed work. And you opened up a lot of eyes here on Guiding Radio tonight. For you youngsters out there, young females, young teenage young men, I hope you enjoy the show tonight and go along a trade. You understand? BTVI has trades available free at that particular location. Ladies, encourage yourself to be y'all's, how should I say, self-employed.
Entrepreneurs.
With your hair braiding and your nail technician. All these things, you could create your own job. on your own small businesses. Right in front of your yard or in the back of your yard. Clean up your yard. Mm-hmm. Get y'all together. You know, change your manners. You know, be respectful to people. And then you got a clientele. Landscapers like Mr. Reid said, plumbers, electrician, go around and ask people if they have problems with their house. You see some people who have AC in their house, you got to ask if you need to get gas or get clean, you know. Do this stuff, you know. Okay? So I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. I want to thank Mr. Reid again for doing us the honor of coming on such short notice, but it was a long wait, but it was a great wait, and I really enjoyed it tonight. So, Mr. Reid, thank you very much. And to the entire listening audience, we'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9. Enjoy your night. Thank you very much. Boy, I from Bitton, bro.